Welcome to Manifest. Many of you have heard teaching over the years about generational curses and things of that nature, but today's message is very unique, as I'm going to be sharing with you the possibility of having a generational angel. Now, if you're from a family lineage where you have a parent or parents, grandparents, an aunt, an uncle, great-grandparents that were raised in the faith, that were raised in the scripture, and that was passed on to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation, there's a very strong likelihood that you have what I call and what the Bible would consider to be a generational angel. So the teaching today is going to explain to you what a generational is. We're going to give you biblical evidence for that. And it's very important you watch all of this, because this, I believe this is going to be a great help to many of you. We always have what's called a main scripture that we open up with, and it will be in Psalms 105, verse 8. It says that God remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. Now, the first thing I want to make clear to you is God thinks generationally. He isn't just a now God. He's a God that looks out into the future, because it mentions here for 1,000 generations. First of all, if you look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 39, Peter said that the promise of the Holy Spirit is to you, your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's generational thinking. It's a blessing or a promise passed on from generation to generation. A second thing I would like to share with you in line with this is all blessings can be passed on generationally. You had Abraham who passed blessing on to Isaac. Then Isaac, second generation, passed his blessing to the third generation, which was his son Jacob. Jacob then passed it to the fourth generation of men, which were his 12 sons that formed the 12 tribes of Israel. So in the Old Testament, that's why you read Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're called the patriarchs of the faith. And so God began to bless them, and the blessing is passed on from generation to generation. And then there are what I call generational angels that remain with a family for an extended period of time, as long as that family is following the Lord. Now, let me share this with you. The first place that the word angel is mentioned, believe this or not, it's not mentioned. Well, you're going to think this is odd, because I thought it was as well. It's mentioned with Hagar, who was Sarah's handmaiden, that Abraham went into and had a child by the name of Ishmael through. And when you look at the first mention of the angel, it's Genesis chapter 16 and also Genesis chapter 21. And two times this angel visited Hagar concerning her pregnancy and also concerning the future birth of her son that would be named Ishmael. And so when she was fleeing from Sarah, the angel said to her, "You're pregnant with the child, so go and return and submit to Sarah, and your child should be called Ishmael, and Ishmael means God has heard." And remember, this is a message coming from an angel. Now, whose angel was it? It was the angel assigned to Abraham. And this was Abraham's son through the handmaiden Hagar. And so we also read later in Genesis 16, verse 12, after this revelation that the Lord predicts what the child's going to be like, Ishmael's going to be like, his hand shall be against every man, and he will be a wild man. So she went back and began to live with the family once again. And then we see that when Ishmael is 13 years of age, that he is expelled with Hagar from the family of Abraham and Sarah permanently. Well, guess what happens? Now, this is years later. The angel of God, same angel, shows up again to Hagar and tells her about her son Ishmael, who is now 13 years of age. And what has happened? They're in a desert. They have nothing to drink. And she thinks they're both going to die. So the angel shows up, same angel, I'm talking years later, and says this: I'm going to make Ishmael a great nation. There's going to be 12 sons come from him. They're going to be leaders. And the angel of God said he will grow and be an archer, and he will dwell in the wilderness. And of course, he went and found a wife in the area of Egypt. And so what I want to, the reason I'm giving you this message about Hagar is, we always talk about how God was with Abraham and Sarah, but notice God's blessing upon Hagar and Ishmael. And by the way, if you're Arab and you're watching me, most of the Arab people are descendants of either Esau, who was Edom, or Ishmael. Ishmael basically would be his descendants would be Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Bahrain and that part of the world. And most of the people that live in the area of Jordan, etc., probably a lot of the Palestinian people, their descendants would be, their ancient father, would be Esau. So this is very interesting. I mean, I love this type of history, and I hope you do well, because it's teaching you some things that you need to be made aware of. So this angel, this is a generational angel we're talking about here, begins with Abraham, ministers to Hagar, reveals himself to Hagar and Ishmael, and then we find out later that he's connected with the blessing that's passed to Isaac, son of Abraham. Then he's connected to the blessing of Jacob, son of Isaac. And then it's connected, we're going to prove this to you from the Bible, connected with being the blessing angel that is passed on to the entire nation of Israel. So when we look at this, I want to share with you the, for those of you, I'm going to say this in humor a little bit. For those of you who are always looking for a companion, and I'm saying this very serious. I'm not saying this as a joke, but when Isaac needed a wife, this is Abraham's son Isaac. He's probably close to 40 years of age at the time, so it's time for him to get married. When he wanted a wife, I want you to look at Genesis 24 and verse 7, because this shows you how God can actually assign an angel, one of his angels, to go forth and connect you with the person that you're going to marry. Now, all of you folks that's looking for a companion, pay attention to this. This is a good word from the Bible for you, not my opinion, but from Scripture. Now, the Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give you this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. Now, what is happening is Abraham is lying in bed, speaking to Eleazar, his servant, to go back among his original family, which were located in Syria, and select a wife from his family to be the wife of his son Isaac. And so if you know the story, Eleazar went all the way down, and of course the story is he found the wife and brought her back to Isaac, and they consummated in his mother's tent. His mother Sarah had passed away, and of course that starts the history of ancient Israel. So this is real important. An angel can actually, when I say find your companion, he actually sets you up. Now, when I was, and this is a long time ago, this is over 50 years ago, I think, it's when I was called to preach. But many years ago, you know, when you're a young minister and you're looking for companionship and for someone to be your wife, I remember that I was dating a lady from Virginia, a young girl from Virginia, and a very talented school teacher, and I thought I would marry her. I thought we were supposed to marry. And the Lord assigned me, through a very strange circumstance, to cancel a meeting, a revival, in the state of Alabama in Birmingham. And he opened up the door for me to go to a church called the Northport Church of God in Northport, Alabama. That's the Tuscaloosa area. And when the revival started, we started out in a week's meeting that went actually every night for 1 week, and that revival continued for 4 weeks, or an entire month. During that revival is where I met Pam Taylor, who would later become Pam Stone, who I have been married to for, I said the other day, we've been married for 42 years. She said, no, Buster, we've been married for almost 43. So I'm going to say 43 because April will be 43 years. So I really believe that the Lord aligned the revival up in 1980 in the month of February for me to be there, so that I would meet the woman that I was going to marry. And God could not have selected for me a better person or a better woman. Her character, her integrity, her faith, her love for family, her heart. She's just the best. And I'm saying that very sincere. And so God had that set up. So did an angel do it? I don't know. I know God did it. The Lord did it. But what I'm trying to say to you is based on these scriptures that we have here, God can actually set you up that way. Now, let's go back to a statement that Jacob, remember, it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is a statement that Jacob made when he was wrestling the angel. In fact, in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 24, there's two great examples of Jacob connected with the angel. Genesis chapter 28. In Genesis chapter 28, he sees this a ladder that is stretching from, actually, it was the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, from the ground of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and it goes all the way up into heaven, and there's angels coming down and there's angels going up the ladder. And if you keep reading the context of what these angels were, this was where the temple for the Jewish people would be rebuilt in the future, the Temple Mount in the city of what we call Jerusalem. And what it represented was angels bringing the giving and the tithing and the offering that would go up to God in heaven, and God would send the blessing angel back down the ladder to bless the people for their giving. And you can read the entire book of Malachi and see how that works. So then we find out that later in Genesis, he wrestles an angel, and he tells this angel, I mean, they wrestle most of the night, and this is an actual wrestling. So he tells this angel, I will not let go until you bless me. And two things happen at that point. The angel touched Jacob's hip, and his hip was out of socket, and he had a limp the rest of his life because he'd been on the run most of his life. And God says, you know, you're not going to run anymore. I'm going to make it to where you can't run. And the Bible says when he was older, he was leaning on the top of his staff, that's his physical staff, blessing his son. So he had to lean the rest of his life. In fact, the limp made him lean on God the rest of his life. And this is an example of how God blessed him, because he changed his name from Yaakov, or Jacob, to Yisrael, which means a prince with God, because God said, you have prevailed with me in wrestling with me. Now, when you read the story, the reason that Jacob had to have this meeting and encounter with the Lord was because he was going to meet Esau after being away from the promised land for 20 years. He had been with his uncle Laban. He now had a wife. He now had all these children, and he's coming back to the promised land. But when he left the promised land 20 years earlier, Esau wanted to kill him for stealing his blessing and his birthright. So he knew he was going to encounter Esau. So this is why he wrestled. So here's what happened. This is very interesting. According to ancient Jewish history, God sent three angels to Esau's camp and made them look like, and this is a supernatural thing, 2,000 soldiers on horses in four different divisions. So Esau had come with 400 men to meet his brother Jacob, and he then saw all these were angels now in the form of men on horses, and it terrified him. It put a fear in his heart. So he wasn't going to mess with Jacob. He wasn't going to attack him, and he wasn't going to kill him. And actually, Jacob gave his brother a large gift of animals, and they reconciled. Can you imagine, after all those years, 20 years, they finally reconciled with one another, Jacob and Esau did. Now, when Jacob becomes an older man, you know the story, they move the family, the children of Israel move to Egypt. And this is the message that in Genesis chapter 48 in verse 16, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, this is Jacob talking in Egypt, bless the lads, this is Ephraim and Manasseh, his two grandsons that he didn't know he had in Egypt. So bless the lads, let my name be upon them and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Again, that's Genesis 48, verse 16. So what you see happening here, which to me is a tremendous thing, is this is where Jacob Now, this is Genesis 48, recognizes this huge angel, which is the redeeming angel. It would be the angel of redemption, the redeeming angel that was with Abraham. Then when Abraham died, it went with Isaac. And when Isaac died, it went with Jacob. And it's gone with, they're about to go now into the promised land. So when they leave to go into the promised land, he's saying, you, angel of God, be with Ephraim and Manasseh and be with us in the future because you have redeemed me in my day of adversity. You redeemed me in my day of trouble. Now, this is the example of a generational angel. So this angel starts out with Abraham through Hagar, comes in through Isaac, the whole entire life of Isaac, comes in with Jacob, his entire life, then follows the children of Israel. If you'll remember, there was an angel of the Lord that went with the children of Israel when they departed out of Egypt, and that angel was with them in the pillar of cloud by day and in the fire by night. And when they finally arrived 40 years later, when they were going to cross over into the promised land, and they finally arrived at the edge of the promised land, the angel came out of the cloud and appeared to Joshua as the captain of the Lord's host, or the captain of the Lord's army, the angel of the Lord. Now, this again is the redeeming angel that we're talking about, or the generational angel. So it's, here's my point. It's the same angel that stays with the entire family. Now, who is the redeeming angel? I can tell you this. Now, what I'm going to tell you may be a little bit of speculation, because the Bible says that this angel, that God's name is in him, right? Well, there is an angel called Michael, and you have the E-L, Michael, Michael, the archangel, and E-L-L is an abbreviation of God's name, and it can mean man of God or leader of God. So in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, we're told that Michael, the archangel, is the angel for the nation of Israel. Now, could it be that Michael was involved with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and is the angel, and the Bible says in Daniel he is, that he is the angel that redeemed the people, that followed the people, and he is Israel's archangel. Isn't that amazing? So he could be the angel that for generations, for centuries, for decades, for millennia, has been the angel protecting the nation of Israel. Now, I do believe, I want to say this again, I do believe that there are generational angels. And let me give you a couple stories real quick. Brother Dr. T.L. Lowry used to say that he knew that his building, the T.L. Lowry Global Foundational Center, that we now own for World Prayer, that is the ISO School of Ministry. And if you want to know anything about really Bible teaching, check out the ISO School on, I think it's ISO.org, on the internet. It's a wonderful school that we have. Dr. Cutshaw is the head of it, Dr. Brian Cutshaw. But we believed that there was an angel of God that God had assigned over Dr. Lowry's ministry that at times would show up at the T.L. Lowry Global Foundation Center. I don't have time to tell you all the stories, but there was actually times that people would see him walking the hallways, and they would go out there to see who the stranger was walking the hallways, and there would be nobody there. He would show up. I could tell you about four or five stories that are totally fascinating. And we believe that there was an angel of God connected to Dr. Lowry's ministry that continues to bless the facility and the ministry, not a building, but the ministry that's going on in the facility of the T.L. Lowry Global Foundational Center. Now, there is a generational angel that has been in my family for many, many years. My dad saw the angel in the 1970s in the Fillmore Avenue Church of God, Baptist Crossroads Church of God in Arlington, Virginia, when the angel was at the Dad was in deep prayer, and the angel was in the corner of that church where he pastored with the sword. And one time Dad actually saw the angel, and there was some challenges taking place at the church. And I'm telling you, the Lord took care of that supernaturally. It's a very long story, but it's very, very interesting to say the least. Now, I'm going to say this, and for you that are unfamiliar with the supernatural or the Holy Spirit, this may sound a little odd to you, but it's very real. Angels are very real. The Holy Spirit is very real. But there have been, during my ministry, there's been about five times, I think I've counted five times, when I would be on a platform getting ready to minister, and this happened. And there are eyewitnesses to this. I would be talking, and all of a sudden, there would be a total silence that would just overwhelmed me, and I couldn't say anything, and I would feel the presence of God on my right side. Now, the Holy Spirit, you feel in you. You feel him rising up in you. But this had to be an angel because everything on the right side of my body, all my hair stood up. If you've ever had that happen, you'll know what I'm talking about. And then the Lord would speak into my right ear and he would give me a word of knowledge or a revelation. Now, this happened in West Virginia years before the COVID virus hit the entire world and shut the world down. And the word of the Lord came to me prophetically, and that presence was on my right side and actually predicted everything that was going to happen. And there would be an outbreak of the rural revival as a result of it and that type of thing. And so I really believe that angels are involved in ministries. They're involved with individual lives. They're involved in generationally in families. And 1 Peter 1:12 says, the angels desire to look into these things. Now, I don't believe in praying to an angel. I don't believe in worshiping angels, but I want to tell you this. You need to ask the Lord. If you're having conflict, if you're having situations, and you don't know what to do, you don't have the answer, ask God, God, whatever angel has been involved with our family, oh God, or if there's never been an angel involved because my family's all heathen, I pray that you will send an angel and place a generational angel around my children and grandchildren to protect them. And I pray that you will help me to have that divine protection and claim the verse in Psalms, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear God and will deliver them. Angels are assigned to human beings to be a part of our life and to minister to us. Well, keep watching. I have this fantastic offer available. Please help us keep Manifest on the air by obtaining this offer. It was said to be one of the greatest gatherings in the history of our ministry, the best of revival and prophecy combined. If you're interested in a right now word from the Lord and messages that reveal coming events that will inspire and equip you for the future, then these 9 messages are a must on your list to see and hear. Now, I could say so much about each one. However, let me just give you the titles that reveal some of the content. Jonathan Kahn preached on prophetic hints in recent events, what God is saying through these things. Tommy Bates preached the message, it is time to see signs and wonders for your children. And then we have Joseph Z, who taught a great message on God has unfinished business with America. Billy Burke conducted a healing service that went till 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh my goodness, his message called Get Back the Expectations That You Can Receive a Miracle was a dynamic faith builder. Now, I preach 5 messages that I want to give you the titles on. The Hebrew year 5252, a massive prophetic discoveries. We also preached on AI discoveries proving that God exists and prophecy is true. One message that left everybody talking was, if I had one message to leave you, this would be it. We had a Friday afternoon service and I exposed 4 things that almost destroyed me. Well, what a talked about message that was. Saturday morning, I preached on dying ministers and the mysterious harbingers of the end of the age. Now, these 9 DVDs come in an album for offer number 25ME-DVD for $95. The 9 audio CDs are also available in an album for offer number 25ME-CD for a gift of $55. The messages on the MP3 flash drive are offer number 25ME-USB for $55. You can also get the messages on digital download, and you can get that at DL25ME for $45, video on demand, and there's actually 5 ways that you can order these messages, and I hope you will take the time to do it. Now, you can also call Voice of Evangelism at 423-478-3456. You can order online at perrystone.org, or you can write us and send a check to Perry Stone Ministries. It doesn't go to me, but it goes to Voice of Evangelism, and you can request CDs, DVDs, flash drive, or any other the other methods that we have. Now look, VOE is able to reach the world because of your continual support of these resources and offers that we make available. We have many doors opening, but we can only go through them with your help. We know that these messages are going to change the outcome of your situation, so order them today. For those of you that have been to our main event, you know what it's like. It is a massive family reunion with some of the greatest camp meeting services and preaching that you'll find anywhere. And this is an opportunity right now to purchase the audio CDs, the DVDs, which do have a lot of the pictures, PowerPoint, the Hebrew numbers, the Hebrew letters, Joseph Z on the whiteboard, and the Great Healing Service by Billy Burke. So please help keep Manifest on the air through our purchasing of resource materials. That's where this goes from. Let me make something very clear. You hear all kinds of rumors on the internet and social media that are 100% not true. When it comes to the resource material that you see offered on the Manifest telecast, when you see, for example, the main event, the prophetic summit, when you see all these different things, you need to know that it goes into the Voice of Evangelism ministry when you order from our ministry. And so it goes 100% back in. From the Voice of Evangelism, we have a 7-point outreach, and that's how we keep our 7 outreaches that we've had since I was 18 years of age. I'm 66 right now. We've had them going on for all these years. Thank you for partnering with us. We have a brand new partners program about to be released in a couple weeks. I am so excited about this. I've got to keep it secret for now, but get ready, because if you're a partner now, you're going to enjoy what's about to happen, and many of you may want to join us later. Okay, I'm going to be coming to Sylacauga, Alabama, March 13th to the 15th to the Sanctuary at Sylacauga, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, March the 20th through the 22nd at Gateway Church, Pastor Nick McSpadden. That's in Russellville, Alabama. Now, these are going to be 2 Alabama meetings. I haven't been preaching a lot in Alabama the past couple of years. I need you guys to get in your car, you folks that know us, you folks that have wanted to hear us preach live, and get to these meetings. We're going to have a powerful time in the Lord. Then Warrior Fest the end of March and the Prophetic Summit at the end of April. And go to perrystone.org for the itinerary information. And I'll see you next week.
If you are a student of Bible prophecy, or maybe just someone who wants to know what in the world is going on, then you don't want to miss the 2026 Prophetic Summit at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee, April 22nd through the 26th. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Joseph Z, Rick Renner, Jeremiah Johnson, Bill Cloud, Brian Cutshaw, Jonathan Kahn, and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Visit perrystone.org for more details. Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2026 Israel tour. The dates are May 12th through the 21st. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. For more information and how to register, scan the QR code on the screen or visit perrystone.org. Seating is limited, so contact us today.